وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير. حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب، the reward of Allah is with you for all your sacrifices. آمين. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, still discussing the Mubarak life of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're going to be discussing the acceptance of Islam by the Ansar. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out to convey the message of Islam during the days of Hajj. So some people of the Khazraj tribe met him at Aqaba. So he invited them towards Allah Ta'ala and presented Islam to them and recited the Quran to them. These people used to live in Medina Munawwara near the Jews and used to constantly hear from them, from the Jews, about the impending arrival of a prophet, the final prophet. So they spoke among themselves and said, "By Allah, this person seems to be the same person regarding whom the Jews had been telling us. Now do not let anyone to surpass you in accepting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet." And so they testified to the Risalat and the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately. They returned to their hometown, and when they reached Medina Munawwara, they spoke to their fellow tribesmen about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and invited them as well. The word of Islam began spreading amongst them, and there was no house of the Ansar in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not the main subject. So as per their custom, when they gathered the following year for the Hajj, a delegation of 12 members from Medina Munawwara presented itself before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These 12 were made up of 10 from the Khazraj tribe and 2 from the Aus tribe. These 2 were the influential tribes of Medina Munawwara, the Aus and the Khazraj. The 12 pledged allegiance at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed hands. They made bi'at and they promised to propagate Islam on their return to Medina Munawwara. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umm Makhtum radiallahu ta'ala an, a cousin of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Hazrat Musab ibn Umair Abdari radiallahu ta'ala an, with them to teach them the Quran and other matters about Islam. So Islam now became the subject of discussion in Medina Munawwara. This incident is known as Aqaba e-Ula. So the people of Medina came to Makkah a third time during the Hajj season. They now decided to fulfill the promise which they had made to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the first year when they met him. The delegation comprised of 62 from the Khazraj tribe, 11 from the Aus tribe, and 2 women, Nasiba binti Ka'ab from the Banu Najjar and Asma binti Amr from the Banu Salima. The delegation promised to meet and discuss with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam privately at night, without the people of Makkah knowing about it. When 1/3 the night passed, they went 2 at a time and assembled around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although his uncle, Hazrat Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib had not embraced Islam as yet. He was present in a meeting to defend his nephew. The delegation from Medina Munawwara pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to them, "Worship one Allah, and when I come to you, it will be your bounden duty to protect and defend me just as you protect your own families." On hearing this, Haytham bin Tayhan from the delegation stood up and said, "We have a covenant with the people of Makkah and other tribes. We are breaking it solely for the sake of Islam. It must not happen that after making all these sacrifices, you leave us and return to your tribe." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and said, "No, that will not happen. Your life and property is sacrosanct like my own. I will observe the peace treaty which you signed as my own." When they heard this, the faces of all beamed with joy. They completed the pledge at his hands and returned to Medina Munawwara. Islam spread quickly amongst the families of Medina Munawwara, and there was hardly a house in which there were not two groups, one defending Islam and the other opposing Islam. Nothing but Islam became the subject of discussion in the alleys and markets of Medina Munawwara. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abada ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. O Allah, send salutations and peace forever and ever to your beloved, the best creation of all. Now the Quraysh have a meeting. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثَبِّتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ. When the unbelievers plotted against you in order to take you captive or kill you or expel you. The Quraysh did not learn immediately about those who pledged allegiance to Islam, but when the news of Islam spread in Medina Munawwara and they learned everything about it, the Quraysh could not bear seeing such a popularity of Islam in Medina Munawwara. They felt they had to put an end to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that they are free of this daily problem. The senior Quraysh leaders such as Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Abu Sufyan, and Utba assembled in Dar al-Nadwa with much concern and worry. They felt they had to get rid of this prophet in a manner which would not allow the Banu Hashim to exact any revenge. In this way, they will rid themselves of this thorn at their side, na'udhu billah, which is constantly pricking them. Now they made a conspiracy to murder Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the course of the meeting, Shaitan entered in the form of an old man and stood at the entrance. They asked him about his identity and he said, "I am a sheikh from Najd. I would like to listen to your conversation and I might be able to help you with my opinions and input." So they allowed him to enter and the meeting commenced. Someone suggested incarcerating Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a secure house. The Najdi Sheikh said, the Shaitan, "This is not a good idea. If his companions come to know about it, they will attack you and rescue him." So someone else suggested banishing him from Makkah. So the Najdi Sheikh, you know, appearance, who was originally the Shaitan, he said, "This view is totally wrong. Are you not aware of his excellent speech, how sweetly he talks, the appeal of the manner in which he speaks, and how he subdues the hearts in this way? If you expel him from here, others will listen to his speech, believe in him, and they will all join forces to attack you." So Abu Jahl said, "He should neither be imprisoned nor expelled. Instead, a youngster from each tribe should be selected, and they will all get together and kill him at once. In this way, all the tribes will be responsible for the shedding of his blood. The Banu Abd Manaf will not be able to wage war against all the tribes. They will be forced to accept blood money and the matter will be resolved." So the Najdi Sheikh said, the Shaitan, "By Allah, this is the best view. All those who are present fully approved of it." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me permission to leave the city and to make hijrah, to emigrate. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked, As-suhbatu ya Rasulullah, O Rasulullah, are you requesting me to accompany you? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-suhbah, yes, you alone will be my companion. On hearing this, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu began crying out of joy. He then presented two camels, which he had prepared for this journey from beforehand, and he hired Abdullah ibn Urayqit as a guide. It was night, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to depart in the morning. So he handed over all the trusts which were entrusted to him by both friends and foes to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, who would then return them to their rightful owners. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up early at the time of true dawn of Subah Sadiq with Allah's name on his lips, while Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sleeping on his bed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves the house and sees it surrounded by the enemies. He was busy reciting Surah Yasin, and when he reached the verse, فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ, then we covered them from above, so they cannot see anything. He picked up a handful of soil from the ground and threw it towards them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descends. The soil blinds the enemies, and he passes through them safe and sound. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and his slave are waiting for him on the outskirts of the city with two camels. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rides one, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala is on the other camel. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeds towards the cave, his bosom and sincere friend was overcome by a strange restlessness and anxiety. He would be in front of him at times, sometimes behind him, then to his right, and then to his left. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him the reason for this, he replied, so that no one attacks you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you want to have yourself killed and myself saved? So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala replied, yes, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His sacrifices for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a deep impression on others. When he used to be mentioned before Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an would say, a single day and a single night of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an is better than my entire life's worship. He was referring to the night when he was with Rasulullah sallallahu, when Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave of Sur, and the day when the Arab tribes reneged after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu controlled them. Hazrat Mawlana Qari Muhammad Ahsan Saad Fatehpuri composed the following poem with regards to the hijrah. He says, his gaze is towards the Kaaba, while his feet are turned for hijrah. Peace be upon you, peace be on you. O Holy Land, may Allah's mercy be on you. Peace be on you, peace be on you. O friends and relatives of my beloved land, peace be on you, peace be on you. My eyes are filled with tears, my heart is broken. Peace be on you, peace be on you. These are the walls and houses of my beloved land. Peace be on you, peace be on you. Do not strike the lightning of expulsion and oppression. Peace be on you, peace be on you. He is not uttering a single word of complaint. Peace be on you, peace be on you. He can neither find any shade, nor is any refuge available to him. Peace be on you, peace be on you. The air of Medina is totally perfumed. Peace be on you, peace be on you. This is the wazifa and the chant which is on our tongue. Peace be on you, peace be on you. Inshallah, Aziz, we will continue with the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a magnificent episode the beginning of the Islamic calendar, what a prominent place in Islamic history it left. You know, our years are very meaningful, and they have great meanings in it, unlike the years of other nations who celebrate, you know, with fireworks and crackers, and they go back again to their own griefs and worries, and you know, and the world is just a place of turmoil, wishing each country wishing another country the best, each president wishing everybody the best, but yet, you know, they are so untrue to their words, and they are full of oppression and zulm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the tyranny of the oppressors and from the evil of the kuffar and the yahud. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.